Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the best darn show on the internet, the Over Sharon Show. It's just me and Sharon today, no Dow. We're going to be doing like an old school episode of the Over Sharon Show, but today's episode number 99, we're going to do kind of like a back to basics of Over Sharon, like a, if you will, an Over Sharon for dummies, so people
An
could.
oversharing overview, shall we
Yeah,
say?
oversharing overview. Exactly. So we can go over some of our basic tenets here in the oversharing
Going to kick
show
your butt for
and
saying the N.
tenants.
Yes, thank you.
Not rental people commandments. There we go. So we're going to be going over that stuff, but of course we have a quote. So today I'm going to start the show by sharing our quote. Here it is. Today's quote: "You have your way, I have my way. As for the right way, the correct way, and the only way, it does not exist." And that's by Friedrich Nietzsche.
I always have a hard time spelling that name. I need to learn how to spell it.
Yeah.
Fried rich. Oh, that's a good way.
Yeah, there you go. Fried Rich.
Fried rich.
Nietzsche.
Yeah, Nietz.
Niet.
Shit.
Probably means something.
Okay, I might next time. I might be able to spell it next time. At least his first name, his given name, dare I say.
Fried
So I
Rich.
am pulling a card from the Tarot of the Divine, which is my newest deck.
Ooh,
It's
I'll
from
need some
this.
paper. You could pull that up again. Some of that. There you go. You're pinned. Nice. All right.
Tarot of the Divine, and I learned a new trick. I think I'm going to have to start closing the window in front of me so things don't get too bright and then over and then wash out. So I might have to keep doing that. All right. Well, let's see what we got today. I feel like I've recently pulled this for myself. Page of Swords. And I don't usually pull for myself, but there it is.
Oh, looks like you with
Page.
long hair with a sword
Ooh.
hiking on the mountain.
Yes.
Cody's taking
This is
the
very
picture.
Yes. But it looks like in the back, like the Taj Mahal or something, and she's holding a little bird. Her little bird is standing on one of her fingers. And it looks like there's like a pretty little tree. And the water coming from the waterfall on the mountain looks gold.
Oh,
Gold water. Radium water? Could it be? Page of Swords. Where are you, Page of Swords? Oh, come on. Okay. The Page of Swords is, and pardon my pronunciation here, the Princess Parizade. Parizade? Parizade? It's Parizade from Anatolia, Arabic folk tale. The Page of Swords represents youthful intelligence. Princess Parizade uses her wit to succeed where others have failed, her optimism intact through it all. She is a harbinger of new beginnings and new ideas for herself and those around her. Upright, talkativeness, energy, thoughtfulness, curiosity, truthfulness, and reversed, bluntness, cynicism, defensiveness, sullenness, and all talk. That's cool. I like this. She is kind of like me, I think. Or I should say, maybe I'm kind of like her.
Yeah, I
I
think it's
like
a
it.
great card for this episode because that's exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be paging of swords our way through all the stuff that we've proclaimed and asked questions about throughout
Indeed.
these past few years that we've been podcasting. This year it'll be 3 years, right? Coming up
Yeah,
in
in August it'll be three.
August.
So it's two and a, approximately two and a half right now.
Yeah, so that's why we thought it was a good time to review everything and overshare an overview, because we've been talking about the Tao a lot. We're up to verse 32 that we've covered, so check that out. There's a playlist for that. We'll put a link below,
Or
I'm sure.
34? We
Oh,
did
are we up to
33,
34? I
34.
thought it was 31 and 32 we did last time. We did 33 and 30. Oh yeah, we did 33. Ah, sorry. The
Yeah,
version of the Tao that I
that's
grabbed
okay.
was only 32 for that verse we might show later. So that's what made me think that. But yeah, I think that an overview and kind of getting back to basics is definitely in order. And this would be a good show for us to send to people. So if you're new to the Oversharing show and you're checking us out, welcome. Thank you guys so much. You can go to morelawsmoreproblems.com, click on the Oversharing tab for more. It'll bring you to everywhere where our podcast is, just in audio form. There's ways to support us financially there. But we always say the best way to support us is to just like this video. If you're listening in the audio form, like it however you can, leave comments, ask questions, let us know what you think. We've been getting some really good feedback lately. We always get really good comments, so I'm excited about that. Yeah, and if you find that your comment was erased, that probably means that we just don't like to engage in any
Vibe,
of the
negativity.
negativity, exactly. But if you do have a question about something, feel free, ask us, just I guess in a polite way.
Yeah, but if you're gonna be, trash talking, it's not our vibe. So we're just gonna say bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. So just as a little overview, when we started this chat, and we've s talked about this on several different episodes, but we started because Brandon and I would have these discussions on the phone that were very philosophical in nature. And we would just talk about a lot of things. And we just thought, you know what? Maybe other people will want to hear these, at least some of our friends, because, we had like a s small little tight-knit group of friends that we had on the chat groups. So at least we could share it with them. But if anyone else likes it, fantastic. So that's how it started. And we did a lot of speculating and chatting about philosophies. And we've not that we weren't there, but we've kind of arrived at these conclusions over time and over the episodes that we've done together. These are the things that we've come to that makes sense to us. And it's not, they're not new ideas, in fact, we always end up reading quotes and books and things where it's the thoughts that we had are validated by someone else that we go back and read and, 50, 20, 100 years ago, somebody already wrote it down. And we might quote something like that, today's episode. So, yeah, it's been a fun ride, and we'd like to kind of do a little consolidation of some of the main tenets that we continue to discuss on this show, in various different ways when we have guests or when we have deep dives into a book like the Tao, so or an ancient text, I should say.
Yep, we're giving it to him old school over Sharon style today. And I just wanted to say a couple things too, though. So Sharon has it a little different than I remember. It's pretty much how I remember started it, but from my angle, I met Sharon, and all these ideas that I was onto that we'll discuss, I would try to discuss with other people, and not everyone was always interested. So when I found somebody that was interested in it, I was very excited. And to find Sharon, she was kind of like where I was about 2 years before. Again, I'm not saying I'm better than her, but I had just gone through and like
No,
looked at
yeah.
tarot.
I did ask a lot of questions. I asked you a lot of questions because I was like, I don't know anything about this. And clearly you know something. You've experienced something. So, yeah, and pardon my glossing over that. So
Oh
thanks
no,
for
not at all. I was just going to tell a funny story because The way I saw it was, you know, Sharon was asking me these questions and we'd have these conversations, and I saw Sharon. I'm like, Sharon, she's like a diamond in the rough here. Like, she could be these conversations that we're having, we could be recording these and putting them on the internet and stuff. And she wasn't quite sure at first, but I'm pretty sure that's what she wanted to do. She just was a little hesitant. So we recorded an episode on my show, the Brandon Bonanza show, and she loved it. And I told her, you know, if you don't like it, we could
I mean,
just.
I didn't love it, but I was like, we'll work with this.
No, I meant you love doing it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I ended up liking the idea of,
The process, yeah. And what I always tell people is you come across a lot of this information and you feel the need to share it with people. And I feel like expression is one of the really important parts of this. When you have this information, some people choose art, some people choose music, comedy, you know, movies. There's all kinds of ways to express this knowledge, but I feel like that is the one of the important steps, because if not, you might go a little crazy, and then you might just go to you know, Thanksgiving dinner around your family and you're like, yeah, darn that soul, and you know, you just start going crazy. So what we do is, this is kind of our therapy, if you will, for ourselves. We cover all these topics and put it out there for the world and share it with people, and it just helps with that expression and of this information, which I feel is really important. So remember, output, guys, the trivium, you have input, processing, and output. Basically, those are the three steps, and the output is very important because you can get backed up just like anything else, right? That gets clogged. Same kind of idea, I feel like. All right. Well,
Absolutely.
without any further ado, let's get into what we're going to be talking about. So again, welcome if you're new. And Sharon and I, when we started this list, I wanted to start this so people, you know, anybody that has any kind of worldview can at least watch the beginning and then proceed. But we found, and you know, this is a reason I think why a lot of self-help books or even drugs or any kind of escapism or all kinds of stuff, why people engage in these activities is because of a feeling that they get. People get it at different ages. Some people it happens from really young. Some people, I mean, for me, it was like my mid to late 30s when I finally went through this whole thing. And it was the questions we were going to ask. Let's see if I could arrange this in a better way to read. Do you feel this way? I have it on my iPad. You know, are you comfortable with being alone, hanging out by yourself? Do you feel the need to listen to something or play music all the time? So are you able to just hang out in a quiet room? And this is something I found I couldn't do. I was constantly either had the television on or music or something always in the background, because I didn't realize it at the time, but I just didn't want to be alone with my own thoughts. You know, do you avoid getting too close or intimate with people? I feel like that's what was happening also to me. Do you find yourself apologizing to other for simple things that aren't your fault? You know, like you want to be a really, you basically become a people pleaser. You know, you don't want to upset anybody around you. You're always trying to act nice. Can you remember a time when you realized you're wrong about something that you believed with all your heart was so true? Oh, I skipped. This is the important one. Do you find yourself being nice and covering your anger until it boils over? So this is something that we could talk about a little further too. It's like a nice guy syndrome, but I'm sure it happens to women as well, where when we're young, we realize that we hide our own needs, so we're more acceptable to people, and then we try to help other people get their own needs met. There you go. We help other people meet their own needs, and we don't meet our own needs. It's just like a secondary thing. And I found that this was happening in my life too. I was just trying to be nice to everybody, and then after a while, it would get really annoying. And then I would just have like a sudden anger outburst for no reason. But then, can you remember a time when you realized you were wrong about something that you believed with all your heart was so true? One of the examples we picked was Santa Claus, because I feel like most people in this society, when they were younger, if they're Christian or if they just, you know, had parents that celebrated Christmas, that they would be told about Santa Claus. And there was a certain age when you found out he wasn't real, and it kind of just like blew your whole scene, right? And I feel like that happens to people constantly, or not constantly, but it could happen more than once throughout your life. It could happen a certain amount of times where you might have a certain religion, or maybe you have a certain lifestyle that you're living. For me, when I was younger, I would say sleeping around or hooking up with women, I just thought it was like the best thing ever. And I had all this research that I did about how monogamy was not the right way for humans to be. And I just had this whole worldview built up. And I feel like that happens, like I said, with religion, with all kinds of stuff. And these symptoms or these questions or these feelings are what lead people to what we're going to be talking about. Yeah, as like I said, these are just some feelings that cause us to go on a new spiritual journey or look deeper. And it's brought to you by your current worldview, you know, the way you see the
So,
world. Right. Go ahead
yeah,
if you want
and
to say that.
coming to these conclusions actually brings us to our current worldview.
Oh, yeah. Just lighting up some tobacco. I like to
But yeah,
smoke my organic.
I was just going to bring up an example of like when you're wrong about something you believed with all your heart. And I can just give an example of like, okay, I ate all that I wanted to eat and when I was young, and and then you find out certain things about food and what's going on with that, and then you wake up to that and you're just like, it can be devastating to find out that your food is being messed with, tampered with, poisoned, whatever, right? That can be like one example. But I have actually found that you come to this, I wasn't going to say this, but you come to all these conclusions about like, oh my God, everything's messed up and everything that I thought was true is not, and blah, blah, blah. But when you get to a place where you've done all that, you've gone through all these rabbit holes, you can come out and you can just be like, okay, it doesn't really matter in the end, right? Like, you can let it go too. So, like, just know that there's that place too.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's really what it's boils down to is kind of letting it go. And I could say for my own self, like when I was dating several women or whatever, it just got to be empty and hollow, and all the things that used to, I guess, make me feel good started to not make me feel as good. It was more empty and hollow. And I know that happens with a lot of people. And I was also going through a spiritual education, I guess you could say, because I was looking into Eastern stuff like Buddhism and looking at like the Bhagavad Gita, different religions. And it was making a lot more sense to me. I'd grown up a Christian and I was a born again Christian for a while. And then I kind of just let it all go at one point. And I was more of like an agnostic, I guess. But I started to come across these. And then I also started to come across what you would say, like, quote unquote, conspiracy theories, and it would lead me down several rabbit holes. And at the same time, I was learning all this stuff, self-knowledge, and learning about myself. I was also studying about the way that the world works, from my point of view, anyway. And I feel like that's another trap you can get lost in. I mean, you can get lost in those truth or traps your whole life because it is so it's just appealing, right? It just sucks you in. Well, for me anyway, because you're told this thing, the way the world works your whole life. You're told this one thing, you know, you got to vote. You know, the United States is like the good guys, all this stuff. And then you start looking at these wars that the United States is in. And if you go back in history through all the wars, you see that there's like all kinds of funky stuff going back so long. And like I said, I was in this place where I was trying to blame everybody else, right? It was everybody else's problem that the world was messed up. It's not my problem. I'm over here just trying to live. You know, we got to change the world. And that's how I felt. I was like, we gotta change everything. And I feel like those are the kind of feelings that people get before they have some kind of spiritual journey or awakening. It's always darkest before the dawn. So if you have these feelings, let us know. Comment below. What are these feelings that you're having? Or if you have had these feelings and that's what led you, let us know too. Share your experience. This is oversharing. You guys, you're the fans. You make the show, you make it worth it for us to,
Entertaining.
yeah, and you make it worth it for us to do this and to get your feedback. I mean, we could just make it for ourselves, but it's great to share it with everybody. So, let
Yeah.
us know what you're thinking. Now we do want to do some disclosures here because if you go back and just watch some oversharing episodes, sometimes you might get a little lost in what we're talking about, or you might not agree with just like certain words. And that's one of the big things, right? Words versus symbols. So we found that the meanings of words really change. I mean, they could change within just a year or a few years. Like look at Let's Go Brandon, right? If you said Let's Go Brandon in 2018, they would have been like, oh, is that your cute little slogan, Brandon? But then 2020 or whatever comes around and everyone's like, either they're like, Let's Go Brandon, or they get all upset when you say it. So that's just a small example though, but words like God, like words like enlightenment, right? What do these mean? What do they even mean? And that's kind of where we're giving a little disclosure. So when we're talking about words, we have different words, and we're going to define a few too, as how we look at them anyway, so you can understand what we're talking about. And the other thing we want to talk about was symbols. The reason why we like symbols so much, because words are really up to others' interpretation, kind of, and symbols are up to your own interpretation. And I found that the more self-work that I've done and whatever it is, looking into this stuff, I found that I can get my own perception now when I look at, say, a tarot card, for example, or even a TV show or a movie, or and when I'm out in nature, a mountain, or some trees, the way they're set up. I think nature is always trying to communicate to us. God, right, which we'll define, the source is always trying to communicate to us if we just want to listen.
Yeah, I just want to just say quickly that the symbolism didn't come naturally to me, because I just was more like logical. But ever since starting this show with Brandon and just doing my own research, it's not like I'm diving into symbolism, but I've just been exposed to different books and different topics, and learning a little bit how to read tarot gave me that exposure that now I can. Whereas before I'd look at a card and I wouldn't even know what to do with it, now I can pull a set of cards for myself, and without reading what they mean in the book, I can have a general idea of what those cards mean for me, because of the question I asked and because what the symbols and the pictures are saying to me. So that's all
And
I just wanted to say that it may not come naturally at first, but you could still do it.
yeah, exactly. And it kind of goes more, you hear about the right hand path and the left hand path. The right hand path is more of like an organized religion path. It's set up by others. That's more about words. Yes, they do use symbols, but I feel like the symbols are really for the elites in that group to kind of show what's going on. Also, the symbols, I think, in right a lot of the right hand path stuff are used subconsciously. People don't even realize that they're subject to some of these symbols or what they mean or what it means that they're accepting when they see these symbols on buildings and stuff. And then you have the left-hand path, which is more of kind of you're going your own way. And we kind of like to look at it as a balance here in the oversharing show, so we're not judging anybody. But with the symbols, it really is your guide on the left-hand path. I mean, there could be several guides, obviously, but symbols are one of the really good guides for a left-hand path, or for you looking into things for yourself to see what it means for you specifically, and not just a whole group of people. And another thing that we like to disclose here is that we're not judging anybody here on the Oversharing Show. We might talk about all these ideas, and we might talk about what we think the world is, and what proper acceptable behavior is and all this stuff. We might make all these what look like our claims. But just know, if you don't agree with us, we're not worried about it. We're not sitting here judging people. We're not judging Christians or right-hand path people. Even though we say what we say might seem like we're saying that they're misunderstanding things or they're lost or whatever. But again, that's just our point of view, and we're not judging anybody. I think that as long as you can live in accordance with the golden rule, then you're okay with us, right? Like, that's all we really are worried about. And again, we'll get into this a little deeper, but even if you're not living in accordance with the golden rule, and you're not worried about that stuff, we're still not going to judge you. And you'll see why. You know, whatever works for you in the moment, it's your journey. Because we've
Absolutely.
had several different beliefs that were probably pretty crazy in our lives, and we still might. We could be wrong, right? Who knows? We did want to define a few words. Like I said earlier, one of the words is God. So when we say God, we're just talking about perhaps the creator. Some people have called it the all. You know,
Divine
let's see,
source,
divine source,
the All Father.
the universe, you know, the universal plan. So when we say God, we're accepting a mystery. We don't know exactly, is there a guy in the sky that's calling the shots, or is it something a little different? We don't exactly know because there's really no way to prove it. So we're trying, and that's the other thing we do in the Oversharing Show. We don't try to get into fights about little things and nitpick. And what you were saying before too about the symbol thing and how you weren't really symbol literate or it's not your top thing or whatever. I feel like this way that symbols speak to people and the way this stuff works, the esoteric versus the exoteric. So the esoteric is the inner knowledge. The exoteric would be more like the outer knowledge, like a church, like the Catholic Church, for example. That'd be something exoteric. It's for everybody. Esoteric is for the initiated, right? And when we say initiated, we just mean people who want to look into this with an open mind. And can see this in the way it works with symbolism and all this stuff. It's similar to puns, like a pun, or it's more about
Wordplay.
creativity, like right brain stuff, you know. So you kind of just take it all in whatever works for you. And I know this sounds probably a little new agey or hippy dippy to some people, but we'll talk about that stuff. Basically, with the new age, we think they take a lot of these ideas, a lot of these words too, you know, words like Dharma, which just means your path, words like enlightenment, for example, right? Or bliss or any of these things. And I feel like the new age, really what they do to put it in a nutshell is they just take the action out of it. They just have you sit around all day and say, hey, the world's perfect. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do anything. You just judge everyone else. That's not perfect, or whatever it is. So as you get into this, and if you continue to watch and listen, dear viewer or fan or listener, you'll see what we're talking about if you don't know exactly what I mean yet. But another one would be, you know, a word we'd like to define would be the realm or the world. People say the world, you know, here, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So when we're talking about the realm or the world, we're just talking about the place which we inhabit
Inhabit, yeah.
and that we live in. And our views might be a little non-mainstream about what this place actually is, but we'll get into that too. And again, we don't judge
And
people.
we don't know everything. We don't know that it's exactly like we're just doing our best to comprehend what it is, but we don't know exactly what it is either.
Exactly. We have no idea. So those are some of the words that we wanted to kind of give you an idea. And I'm sure as we go along, we'll do it with more words too that come up. Like I just did with Dharma. We didn't plan on that. But another good thing about this disclosure is, you know, we're very open-minded, and we just ask people who are watching this content to try to keep an open mind. Even if you don't agree with what we're saying, see what it means to you, see what you can get out of it. Because I feel like you can get something out of anything. You know, we're basically here just we're sharing our power with people right now. You can look at it and you could take that power or energy any way you want. So we're hoping that you take it in a positive way and keep an open mind. We're basically just asking questions, you know. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Because, you know, if you're a Christian, they'll tell you, if you're hardcore Christians, sometimes they're pretty strict on what kind of behavior will lead you to going to hell, right? Oh, this is, you'll go to hell if you listen to this music or if you dance or rock music or whatever. And we're saying, you know, we're just asking questions here. Why would a God or some kind of benevolent being put you in a lake of fire for eternity for just asking questions? You know, God gave you a mind to think and ask questions. Why wouldn't he, she, we, they, whatever God, why wouldn't they want you to ask questions? And we kind of equate it to being a parent. You know, what would you wish for your children if you had children? Think about that relationship. And also another important point, I remember when I was in the Catholic religion, or the Catholic, yeah, Catholic and born again Pentecostal, and I'm sure Sharon had the same experiences where people would tell you that you have to do something or else, you know, you have to pray or else, you have to read the Bible or else. And to me, that sounds like they're controlling people with fear. Now, if God was supposed to be this all-loving being who loved everybody, do you think he'd really want to control and manipulate people with fear? And so these are some of the
If he
questions.
gave us free will, why would he do that?
Yeah, if we were given free will, you know, why would we be punished for making the wrong choice? Now, I know that's going to sound pretty crazy, but keep listening, guys. Keep listening. And it's not like we don't feel like people don't get punished if they're not living in accordance with natural law. I feel like it does happen, but they're kind of bringing it on themselves, right? So, but again, we're gonna get into that. Another thing I think that happens a lot is the Bible gets misrepresented because people take it literally. Now, again,
Like
Sharon and I,
super literally, without any other, you know,
yes. Any other
allegory
context or
or, yeah.
allegory? Yes. And the other problem with that is, you know, you think about humans the way we are now, or men and women, I'll say. The way that we speak in our different languages, there's always some kind of slang, right? Or there's always some kind of implied
Metaphor,
something or metaphor
nuance.
going on. So why wouldn't we think that they would do that back then? And now, of course, Sharon and I, we don't know for sure. Maybe it is all literal, but I feel like even if it is literal or close to being literal, you can also, the Bible, just like any other holy text, I feel, has this magic where it could be both. You know, there's a way where it could be both, but it's not up to us, I feel like, to decide that or to argue about that stuff. You know, that's why we kind of try to stay away from that. And there was one more thing I was going to say too about misrepresenting the Bible. Oh yeah, it's the translations. That's another thing, really. I feel like all the words, like we were saying earlier, the words that people might think it means one thing, it could mean, you know, the total opposite of that, or it could be an intentional misinterpretation put in there for the source of control for certain reasons. So that's another reason why I take a lot of this stuff with a grain of salt. But once you get into symbolism, you don't even have to actually see the symbol. You don't have to see a symbol on paper. You could just read something like about a tree and about a mountain, and then you could, because of that, you could get your own interpretation out of even the Bible.
Yeah, and I
So.
was just going to add that we're just using the Bible as an example. Like you can take the Bhagavad Gita literally too. And Krishna's telling Arjuna to kill his, you know, to fight in this war and kill his cousins and family, uncles and aunts. And you think that that's what he was really doing? I think it was more of a spiritual war going on.
Yeah. And I think that people who wrote these texts, or if God wrote them or whatever, the reason why they use, like in the Bhagavad Gita, a war, a giant war like that, where it's, you know, brother against brother and holy teacher against student and all this stuff, is because they really want to draw your attention to something. All right. A war is a big deal.
It's exaggeration. It's, oh, what is it called? Hyperbole, right?
Yeah, there you go. Just like in comedy, I'm, you know, I'm learning a lot reading this book about comedy. Shout out to Bootsy Greenwood. Thank you so much for recommending. Do I have it? It's over there. But it's called How to Kill in Comedy. But they talk about creating a character, and exaggeration is one big part. You know, you want to kind of
How to
exaggerate.
kill in comedy.
How to kill in comedy. You really think we're up there killing people? I mean, maybe somebody laughs so hard that they die, but I guess that'd be a great way to go, right? Can
My
you imagine?
God.
So, I forgot what I was saying, but yeah, that's a lot of exaggeration. So I feel like that's what happens when people want you to pay attention to something. They say, oh, it was a huge war. But then when you look at the Bhagavad Gita at its essence, it could it be that it's just representing a spiritual war? Because, like before, in those questions we asked at the beginning of the show, if you're feeling that way and you start to change your behavior, you're going to lose people in your life. You know, you're not going to be the same person that you were. And there are people that are hanging out with you because of certain things that you do. So say that you drink a lot. Nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, there's worse things you could do. And you have friends that drink too. Well, if you start, if you quit drinking or you slow down, those people might not want to hang out with you. Because what it does, and I found this too, is it highlights their own bad behavior. They're hanging out with you because they feel like, oh, you're drinking too. You get it. It's fine. You're not going to judge me. But the second that you're like, oh, I'm going to slow down or quit drinking, a lot of times people see that as a judgment and they're like, oh, no. So you don't accept my lifestyle. And so people are going to fall away out of your life. And it will be kind of like a war. And then also there's pieces of you inside. You know, pieces that like to sleep with a lot of women, or pieces that like to, you know, whatever it is, drink a lot, or whatever it is, those pieces of you, you're going to have to go through and kind of, it's like a war, right? You have to use your own will to overcome that. And I was saying something to my beautiful fiance, Elizabeth, recently, where I feel like a good example of this would be comedy. When I first started doing comedy, it took me a while to get up the will to write jokes, go there, get on a stage and like be nervous and shake and like try to read these jokes in front of people. And I had to do it a couple times. But once I put that will into motion and I kind of showed God or the universe or whatever, what it is that I wanted, it was like a roll. And I was out like almost every other night doing an open mic or comedy or somewhere. And that's what I'm going through that process now again. It's like a jump start. You have to kind of jumpstart with your own will, things that you want to do. You know, so many people will say, oh, there's a pill you can take or magic medicine, or just read this. If you read this book, it's got all the answers in it and you'll be fine. And that's why Sharon and I got together to do a show, because I feel like there really is no one way. Going back to the quote that I said at the beginning by Friedrich Nietzsche, right? You know, the only way, you know, the correct way, the only way, it does not exist. There is no all in one only way. And there's
And
going to
I
be a lot
can
of, I was just last thing, a
go
lot
ahead.
of people though out there will tell you they have the way, right? And maybe
The
they
only way
think they do. It's not that they're even a
for
fairy. So they could
them.
have, for them, they could have went through something that was so life changing, and they're like, everyone has to experience it. Everyone has to do it this way. It's just a little bit of ego coming in. But again, I've done that too. I thought that too. I was like, everyone's got to learn
People
about
do it with a
natural
lot of
law.
things. They do it with how to eat food, which food to eat, which food not to
Clothes,
eat.
shoes,
Yes, all kinds. And
drugs,
I was going to
right?
say
Oh, you do
quickly,
cocaine, you should do weed or whatever, you know, like, go ahead.
was just going to quickly say that, like Brandon has comedy as his thing. And I was just going to say, like, I never saw myself as having a podcast. Like, I wouldn't have guessed that for myself.
Great example,
And there
Sarah.
was a level of fear, one could say, of, having this public appearance, in the world. And I just wanted a private life. I didn't want that, for myself. Fortunately, I have been able to just keep a niche crowd and a niche, group of people who watch this. So I'm just glad about that because I never wanted it to be like a big thing. I never wanted, fame or anything like that. It's just too much. And but there was that level of fear and that I was exposing myself, being vulnerable. vulnerable talking about stories about me, about my life, about people in my life. I did not imagine myself doing that 2.5 years ago, or even longer than that. So doing this is actually kind of like what Brandon did with comedy.
Yeah, great example. I had to go through that myself when I started podcasting as well. It's the same thing. You have to use your own will. So if there's something out there that you want to do, dear viewer, listener, dear oversharing fan, just go out and do it. You're the only one stopping yourself. And you're not going to be good at it. That's the bad news. Right at first, when you first start doing it, you're probably not going to be good. Like when I started doing comedy or podcasting, whatever, they probably weren't that good. But you just keep doing it and doing it. And then after a while, something just takes over. And I mean, yeah, you still have to use your will. And Sharon and I still have to do planning and stuff. And we still have to have the desire, obviously, to want to do it. But now it feels like it's more on an autopilot type of thing where we're normal, we're used to it. We get on here, we're live, and we're not even worried about it. We just go with the flow. 2 weeks ago, we had issues with the internet screwing up while we were trying to record, but we just went with it, right? So, but that's our little disclosure, anyway, with our
And
little advice.
the
Yes, go
last
ahead.
piece of that, and just to summarize, all those kinds of questions that we've asked ourselves, over time, and all these things that we've gone through, have brought us to, be more open-minded, and brought us to kind of our worldview. But that said, our worldviews are subject to change because, we could be wrong, and we maintain this ability to, we hope to maintain this ability to stay open-minded. I see a cat tail there,
Yeah,
a black cat's
there's a
tail.
kitty right here. Hey.
Hair of a cat.
Air the dog.
So, that's it. We
Yeah, I think that's
sometimes.
important though. Like what you said, that we keep an open mind. I feel like that is the one thing that throughout all this journey, there's been a few times where I was really set on something. I thought I knew it for sure, and I would like, bet money on it or whatever, right? And then it turned out that I was wrong about something, and or maybe just misinterpreting it. So,
Dare I say, and I'll bring up just quickly, coming across the concept of the earth not being a spinning ball, and that's just, when you think it's the complete opposite, what is that? Is it the Illuminati card game that says they're onto something? It's like it may not be exactly that. It's maybe that's just a one small piece of the information.
yeah, I feel like
Could it
what
be?
this realm or world that we live in, what it could be, is it a spinning ball in the middle of space? Is it a flat plane? Is it a simulation? What is it? I feel like that's one of the most divisive things that we have going on right now in this kind of quote unquote spiritual community. There's some people that are onto all the spirituality. They think we live on a ball. There's some people that think it's a flat plane, and they'll just argue and fight about that. And I feel like it's none of those things, and we'll get into that, probably what it is. But again, we could be wrong. Maybe we are on a spinning ball, man. I don't know. That's what they've told us ever since I was a kid. I mean, maybe it's right, but I know everything else they've ever told me was inverted in some way. So that's kind of why I
Maybe it's a
question.
little bit of everything. We don't know.
Yeah, it could be a little bit of everything. And there's something too that the reason I never really got onto that whole discussion about what this realm could be is because it really never mattered to me. I was always like, well, it doesn't really matter where we live exactly. It's really about what we're doing here. We have this fabulous opportunity to have a body and to be able to interact with other people in this physical plane. So it's like just that's the most important thing. But then if you want to have a fun discussion or maybe like a fun debate and we're joking around about what the world can be, sure, that's fine. But I feel like that doesn't matter as much, the medium that we're in this world, it doesn't matter as much. It's more about our behavior, really. And
Absolutely.
less suffering. And that's why I found this path really does lead to suffering a lot less. It's really about acceptance, of the way that things are. If you can't do anything about something, you accept it for what it is, and then you try to see how you can alter your behavior to be a better person or make this a better world or whatever, right? You put the onus on yourself instead of everybody else.
Yeah. So the this last bit of the dis what were we calling these? These like
Disclosures.
disclosures. Is that we talk about claims a lot. Sometimes we say we don't make claims. And that's loose, right? Maybe we have made claims. Maybe, talking about all we talk about is, I guess, kind of like making a claim.
Us saying that we don't make claims is a claim. What
So,
are you gonna
take it with a grain of salt. But the point is that we're not attached. We well, let's just say we hope to remain not attached to these ideas in case that we've come across new information. And that leads us to making a a different conjecture about this realm and what it's all about and what this life is all about. So, I put together a when I was trying to figure out like what is our show about, and I probably did this a good year, 9 months ago. I don't remember when I did, but I put a little bit of a long description of our show together, and I'll just read that, and then we'll go on with the show. So, here it goes. Our show boils down to love and compassion through living in accordance with the golden rule. We explore all kinds of topics without judgment. We contemplate, speculate, pontificate, and philosophize, but we don't like to make claims as we're comfortable knowing that we don't know. We offer thoughts, ideas, opinions, and we overshare our own experiences. We also regularly invite guests. In this manner, we don't explicitly tell people what to think, and listeners can draw their own conclusions. In the show, we discuss topics like free will, this 3D life experience, what this realm could be, overcoming fear, the purpose of the ego, the victim consciousness trap, esoteric knowledge, the importance of shadow work and self-healing, how intention affects what is good versus evil, and much more, all while staying open to the fact that everyone experiences the world in their own way. We often ask guests about their spiritual journey and how it has led them to their current cosmology and worldview. No one person has the same journey, and yet we may arrive at similar conclusions. But even if we don't, we respect others' experiences and views. We don't go around forcing our views on others, something we jokingly call woke raping. And we don't recommend it either. Everyone is on their own path. They experience what they must to learn what they need to learn for this lifetime. We honor and respect everyone's unique journey. We also have no intentions of being anyone's savior or guru. We don't believe in a collective solution to anything, as each person has the free will to discern what is best for their own life. We know the things we discuss may resonate with some and not with others, and that's perfectly okay.
Exactly, because we've talked about this on other shows about cult behavior, but I feel like when you think you know the answer and you get a group around you, especially when you're talking about spiritual and just your behavior, I feel like that's when it turns into a cult, and that's not what we want here. Maybe after we're gone, you guys could start a cult. That'd be fun.
That's what usually happens.
Yeah, that is usually what happens, right?
Indeed, it does. But yeah, the this episode is mainly to talk about what we talk about in the show. And basically, it really just boils down to what is the purpose of this life and the spiritual journey that we are on. We experience things, we learn, we grow. And I have come to the realization that it's to grow in love and compassion for others. Like many, gurus or other people have said, we do this to recognize that there is really no separation, that we really are all part of the great divine. We are all part of it. And when we see the separation, when we have these we call disagreements and arguments and fights and pointing fingers at people, we're only showing how potentially immature we are, because we're allowing that to separate us from the love of humanity, the love of people, and the people around us, the people that, like Jesus said, that, wish harm upon you and things like that. But yeah, others have talked about it as raising your consciousness to the next level. And we were going to mention the concept of what the realm is, but I think we kind of discussed that a little bit, unless Brandon wants to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit, but we did kind of open that discussion a little bit. I did want to say though, and I know we have this later on to say, but again, everybody, and we say this a lot in the show, but if you're new and you haven't heard us, we're not up here. All this stuff we're saying, it's not like we're living the perfect way that we see. We're just doing our best here, right? We're preaching to the choir with all this stuff. We're preaching to our fans.
Ourselves.
And ourselves, really, right? We're just because I feel like when you repeat this stuff over and over again, it's easier when you're in the moment, then you have to make that decision about how you're going to feel when something happens. And that's what we talk about with free will. We talk about on the show. The way that I think free will works is, or you could say the ultimate expression of free will, the free will that you always have is to decide how you feel about what's happening to you or what's going on around you. Are you going to be a victim? Or are you going to be a victor in that situation? Even if you're locked in a jail cell, you could be physically a victim. You could be somebody could beat you up or whatever. But this is the spiritual level. How do you feel on the inside? Do you feel like a victim because of it and everything's their fault and it's all their fault? Or are you going to use this time? Are you going to look at whatever's happening and look at the silver lining, And I feel like that's really what leads to diminishing suffering in your own life is how you view things. And what I wanted to say about the realm in a nutshell quickly is I kind of feel like we live in what we call a spiritual realm. I feel like this is really an internal experience that we're having, and we're tricked into believing it's this external physical spirit experience because of our senses.
All is mind.
Yeah, and if you go back to the Kabbalion, in a lot of other different religions
Hermetic.
or hermetic things will tell you about the all, but they'll say all is mind. Everything is occurring in the mind of God. And we're kind of all parts of God or the all in a way. And the way that I've heard it described, which I love, is if you look at Frodo from Lord of the Rings, he's a
An
character. So think of
author and a
yourself.
character, right?
Yeah, you think of yourself as Frodo, and Tolkien would be God in this scenario, right? Because Tolkien wrote all this stuff, it's all within his mind. And now you could say Frodo is an aspect of Tolkien, but you can't really say Frodo is Tolkien. I'm sorry, you can't say that Tolkien is Frodo, is what I meant to say, right?
Or
Tolkien
Frodo is
isn't Frodo.
Tolkien, yeah.
Yeah, Frodo is more like an aspect in the mind of Tolkien, so he's a part of him. And that's what we, when people say we are God or we are all God, that's how I interpret it. And that's how I look at it is if
Yes.
I was going to say we are all God, we're just parts of this, whatever it is, this great
Yeah.
mystery. Go ahead.
And that reminds me of when we talk about what is it in the movie Star Wars when she said, when she's in that, oh, the hologram, right? When
Yes.
she's like, you're my only hope.
Obi-Wan, you're my
It
only
reminds
hope.
me of the hologram too, right? Because within us, we have that ability to be like God. Now, we're not saying to be only the only God, but to be like, that's the Holy Spirit within you concept. right? We have this divineness within us that we can strive toward. And many people call it reaching enlightenment, and, raising your consciousness, that sort of thing.
Yes, we have the creative power also within our minds. Anytime we want to make something, just like the Over Sharon show and all the graphics and all the stuff that Sharon does with the write-ups and all the stuff we both do, it starts in our mind first. We think about it and then we talk about it and create it and then we bring it into this physical existence so other people can view it. So I feel like that's what we're talking about, the realm of the mind. So this realm, I feel, is more like a dream. And I feel like it's constructed by the collective consciousness, everybody. And that's why there's different waves of things that'll happen. And you have trends and styles and stuff like that. And I even feel like perhaps it affects the weather. It pretty much fixes everything and affects everything. But so everyone is plugged into this collective consciousness, but then on your own, you can be your own light. You're like a pixel in a screen, right? And then your pixel, it's up to you with what you want to do with that pixel. And then by making your pixel better, your part, you're going to make things around you better. You're going to make everything better, at least in your own life. So that's kind of how we view it. I feel like flat Earth, globe Earth, and simulation are all materialistic mind views. That's something we've talked about a lot. We're very steeped in materialism in this society. We have been for a very long time. And again, nothing wrong with it. There's no judgments, but it's also important to remember that if you zoom in, even if you're a top materialist and you're a scientist and you're a physicist and you take a microscope and zoom in and look at something at the smallest amount that we could view, it's just energy, just particles moving around. There really is no thing you could point to say that is something. So the fact that science agrees, even materialism, materialist science agrees with that statement, I will say that, hey, what is this? Is it even real? Is it
Exactly.
just a dream? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 merrily. They say it
Life
three
is
times,
better than
merrily,
life.
merrily, merrily, merrily. No, four times. You gotta live merrily. And then life is but a dream, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of
Yeah.
what I have to say about the realm. And again, I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. We got, like I said, I kind of fun discussion or whatever. But from what I've looked into and what I've seen, that's the best representation that I could make of what this realm or world might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said something about the victim narrative
Oh,
attached to
yeah.
the various views. Did you want to say something about that?
Yes, thank you. The other thing too is the other views. Because people might say, well, why would they tell us? Why would people say we live in a spinning ball in space if it wasn't true? Why would they talk about all that stuff? Well, what we found is that any kind of the three main, so ball Earth, flat Earth, or simulation theory.
Simulations.
And again, when I say flat Earth, when I bunch this in, I'm not saying that we don't live on a flat plane. What I'm saying is people who think it's a flat
That's the
physical
only thing.
plane with a hard, fast dome over the top. Maybe there is a dome, but I think it's all in our consciousness. There's really still nothing you can point to, even at the ground, a rock. It's you zoom in on it, it's just energy, right? We're all energy, man. But I feel like there are victim narratives that get attached to these different ones. The ball, if we live on a ball, it leads to making people or could make people feel insignificant. We're in the middle of the universe. Why do we matter? Flat Earth, I think that same thing with the victim narrative because it's material and it's materialistic. I feel like, I guess I don't really have a victim narrative exactly to attach to it, but maybe we can come back to it because, but I know
Well,
Sim.
I
Go
would
ahead.
just off the top of my head, I would just say the victim narrative that comes with that I've seen is that we've been lied to. Everybody's pointing the finger. They lied
Oh,
to us.
yeah.
This is what it is, and we are significant. And blah, So it's the kind of the opposite angle of
Yeah, it's like
not
the
being
poles, right?
insignificant. Yeah.
The two towers. And then you have simulation theory, which I feel like simulation theory is one of the best ways to really describe what we're in, but I don't think we're inside a computer simulation. The way it works could
Exactly.
be very similar to a computer, but I feel like
Allegorically, it's a good allegory, but it's not exactly. That's why
yes.
it's an allegory, because it's not exactly that.
And a lot of victim narrative that's attached to the simulation theory is, look at the Matrix. People feel like they live in some kind of simulation like that. Like somebody is grabbing our energy while we're in this simulation and we're being tricked and all these bad things are happening to us. And it's so terrible. And they're farming our loosh. That's what they'll say. They're taking your energy. They're energy farmers. And hey, maybe that's the case. I don't know, but I don't feel like that is the case. And we'll get into,
Yeah.
some
And
of the
you know
reasons
what?
why.
If it is, it's for the people who believe it is. Like, I don't believe that that's what they're doing to me. So they're not getting mine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Of course, people could be stuck in this situation and they could be having their energy sucked out of them. There are energy vampires in this realm, 100% for sure. And some of them call
But they're
themselves.
allowing it. It's consent. It's consent based.
Yeah, some of them,
Because if you
exactly.
believe
Some
it, then you're allowing it.
tacit agreement is really what it is at the end of the day. Because and the reason I can make these claims is I found in my life, once I started to not worry about that stuff and accept things that the way they are and go through some of the spiritual work that we're going to talk about and apply some of these tenets that we've been talking about. I feel like that's when you start to realize that you are not a victim and this realm has endless possibilities of what you can do with your time and what path you can walk, we'll say.
Yeah,
So yeah, that's
so
my little disclosure about the different types of realms that we're in. But really, I think the one that nails it, the ace in the hole, if you will, is materialism, because all the other three main ones that I mentioned all have to do with material. Like there's somebody, we're in a computer, a physical computer. That's the other thing I want to say about simulation. The reason why I think so many people who believe in simulation believe it is because we know everything from our brain. Our brain works just like a computer. A computer is, like a poor attempt to make a copy of a human brain, if you think about it. So if that's the way our brains work, then we're going to, or our consciousness or whatever, the way we perceive things, if that's the way it works, kind of like a computer, then it is all going to look like a computer around us because our brain is similar to a computer. So it's easy to make that judgment. But again, a spiritual realm isn't very far off from simulation theory, but I just don't feel like there's people outside of this watching us physically. Maybe I'm
Yeah,
wrong,
or
but
that there's something else plugged in somewhere else, like Neo's plugged in and all that
yep.
stuff.
And we have a body waiting somewhere for us. And that's another victim thing, right? We're going to get out of this simulation one day and it's going to be
Yes.
all better. Well, why isn't it great now? Isn't that just a heaven and hell thing? Simulation theory person who I'm strawmanning right now.
Exactly. The
Isn't that just,
rapture.
yeah, isn't that the same as going to heaven, or going to hell when you get out of here,
Yeah.
or being stuck in here could be hell for some
Yeah.
people. But I feel like it really is what you make of it.
Yes,
Okay.
indeed. So yeah, this we you know people have said it's like a physical manifestation of the spiritual, that all is mind concept, a spiritual experience in this material 3D. Those are just some other ways
Yeah,
to
I feel like
describe.
we're all just energy, right? And
Yes,
we're being tricked
absolutely.
into having this physical experience. And after we die from this realm, I don't know where we go or what happens next exactly, but I feel like we'll have a better understanding of what it was. And I even feel like we're going to look back fondly and be like, oh, remember that time we were in the physical realm? That was pretty cool, right? And we thought we had all these problems. Weren't we silly? It's like when you look back on yourself as a kid and you're like, oh, man. I remember when I was a kid and I couldn't get baseball cards. I couldn't, and I was all upset that my baseball card got ruined. But now I
Yeah.
don't even care about baseball card. Well, maybe
Yeah.
my Ken Griffey Jr. rookie that I sold. I wish I still had that. But Same kind of thing. Or like dolls or toys, you know. I remember I wanted the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier so bad, and there was this kid in the neighborhood who had one. So we used to hang out with him, even though he was like the worst, but we would hang out with him because he had the aircraft carrier.
Oh my Lord.
You know, and back then that was my whole world. But now that I've grown up, I've gone through certain other deaths, worldview changes. And we talk about like when your worldview changes, it's similar to a death, it's a spiritual death. And now I don't care
Yeah.
about aircraft carrier. I mean, I was on a real aircraft carrier for 6 months in the Mediterranean and the Persian Gulf. So, yeah,
Yeah.
that's exactly what we're talking about. Your worldview changes. It might change every day, and you don't even realize that it changes. But when it changes
But it's
significantly, especially having to do with your behavior or thought processes that you had before, things that you thought were true before, and now you realize that they're not true. You know, like Jefferson Airplane, "Wants Somebody to Love." You know, "Wants Somebody to Love." In the beginning, the opening words are, "When the truth is told, or when the truth is found to be lies, when all within you dies," something like that. You know, it's
Yeah,
so
and
true.
all this stuff that we all this stuff we're gonna talk about, I should say, is gonna be tied to like doing the inner work, doing the work that brings you to those revelations, to those ch world changing views, changing worldviews, etc. So,
Or work you can do after you've had those two also, because you have that
yes,
and
that
you're
too.
like, what do I do now? You know, you
Yeah.
want to stay home and in bed.
And you keep, you know, it's a thing you just keep doing.
Yep. All right. So this
So,
brings us, you, okay, go ahead. You say it.
oh, I was just going to say, yeah, it brings us to the top 10 over Sharon tenets that we came up with. And we call them top 10 because there might be others, right? But these are kind of like the top 10 that we came up with of things that we end up talking about all the time. So, yeah. I guess I'll read them. So, and they're in no particular order. I just wanted to kind of put them in a way so that they kind of looked like a little mountain, even though it's not perfect, but it's
There's
close.
a little valley there.
There's a little tiny bit. All right. So, be here now. The world is perfect. Do it till you're done. Fear is the mind killer. Follow the golden rule. Be a victor, not a victim. Truth needs no defense. Thou shalt not put us up on a pedestal. Oh, I added the word up. Sorry. There are many paths up the mountain, and everything in moderation, especially moderation.
That's right. These are the top 10 over Sharon tenets.
And we had fun coming up with these.
Yeah, we did. And we were kind of going after, you know, the 10 commandments allegedly, could it be? We were trying to model it like that. But 10 is a great, it's a sacred number. It's a number of completion. It's another one. It's a one and a zero, which is just a one. So you're starting back off right where you're picking up where you left off, basically, and you're back at home. And it reminds me of the quote, you know, you'll know you're truly home when you don't recognize the place, something like that you grew up, something like that. But yeah, it's the same kind of thing, because you have one of these awakenings and you could still be in your same house and home and everything, but everything just seems so much different to you. You know, there's joy where you never even saw it before. You're like, wait, I look outside and there's trees and the sun's shining and birds are singing. They've always been out there. But I've been too worried about staring at, you know, concerned with staring at my television because of, you know, they're gonna come get us and all this stuff. Staring at
Or
those
escapism.
screens, yeah, more escapism.
Yeah.
So we have these all broken down. So we're gonna talk about each one. The first one, "Be Here Now," and this is from Ram Dass. He made this famous, but we thought it was great because, again, not that we worship Ram Dass or put him on a pedestal. Or we don't even say to follow what he says, but he does say a lot of really things that good things that resonated with Sharon and myself. And "Be Here Now" was one of them. It's about being in the present moment, right? Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future, because technically they really don't even exist. There really is only this present moment. And then people, Sharon might say, "Hey, Sharon, be here now sounds great, but how do we do it? What's a good way to be in the present moment?"
Yeah. First of all, be aware. Become aware of everything around you. And what comes with that is gratitude, because you can say, I'm here. I'm grateful just to be here. And, whatever's around you, I'm grateful for the trees. I'm grateful for the sun shining down on me. I'm grateful for a cloudy day, even if, it looks like they were man-made, but I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, it's funny because back before I have all this awakening and stuff, I was still pretty an optimistic person, and a lot of people would come to me for advice. And back when I still gave quote unquote advice, I would tell people to just, like somebody would be upset about a situation. I'm like, yeah, well, at least you have two legs and two feet and two hands and two arms, and you can walk and you can talk and you can see. Those basic things, if you're watching this, sorry, paraplegic, if you're watching this, I mean, at least you could
You were
talk,
gonna
right?
say that.
But if you're watching this and you could do any of those or of all of them, then you should just sit there and be thankful for that. You can think about how crazy life would be. Tie your arm behind your back for a day and see how it is. These are just little ways to be grateful. And then it just goes from there. You could look at people in your life. You can look at, your car, your house, the things that you have. I'm grateful that I have this iPad and this MacBook and this microphone, and these lights, so people can hear the sound of my voice and the internet. There's just all these little things. Now, it might sound silly to some people, and some people who are pessimistic might be like, well, I don't know. But the key thing is when you are being thankful for things in the moment, A, you're being present, and B, you're not having negative self-talk. You're not spiraling downward into negativity. You are elevating or at least staying where you are. And I feel like that's one of the most important things, because a lot of people, that's what this is about. The ideas and the talk in their head, or however people perceive things in their head when they're talking to themselves, it does tend to get very negative, especially in the society with the way that we're raised. We're always raised to get our validation from external sources. And we're, somebody tells us, no, you can't do that. Yes, you must do this. You must finish all your food. Then later on, you grow up and you're at a restaurant and you hear that voice in the back of your head, you have to finish all your food, even though you're full, and you plow through it and you eat it all and you feel terrible. It's just like one small example of what happens. But I feel like to undo that, it's like a programming or kind of training that we went through, but to break through that and to undo it, be thankful. Gratitude in the moment.
I was going to add to that just you mentioned tie your arm behind your back, but like even let's say you get like a paper cut on one of your fingers, or some little bruise or something on that finger, and then all of a sudden you use that finger for everything. You're like, crap, I have to button my pants with that finger. I have to, I write with that finger. I do all these things. And every time I do, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. Maybe that's a reminder to be present, to be grateful that, you've always had that finger and now you're recognizing that you use it for everything, right?
Yeah.
That's just a small example.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And
Because
then,
pain, oh, go ahead.
no, go ahead.
I was going to say pain is a message, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever kind of pain it is, you can look at it as just a message. And then you could say, what is this pain trying to tell me? Oh, it's trying to tell me there's a rock on my foot and it hurts. Or it's trying to tell me, hey, listen, my behavior is not right. I'm hurting myself and all these people around me. And, I do want to change now. This isn't fulfilling anymore. I want to change my behavior. And that's another thing that's really important with the oversharing thing that we've discovered is, and we're going to get into this, I'm sure, with do it till you're done or whatever, but you have to have that thought process on your own. You have to want to have that desire to clean up or change your life or to even elevate your consciousness, we'll say. It has to start from within, because if somebody else is telling you to do it, or you're doing it because you're fearing something that's going to happen, I feel like those are the wrong reasons to do it. And then you're going to feel empty and hollow inside, or it's just going to feel like the wrong thing. And it might help for a little while, but what we're talking about here is to kind of alleviate this suffering in a more permanent way or a more whole way.
Yeah. And then I had this other thought. like, let's just say that, you're drawn to watch, keep an eye on what's going on in the world. And, you begin to use that as a way to worry about the future and all these things, right? It's like, okay, could you just wipe that out from the back of your mind and say, is that happening to me right now? Like, is what's happening in this other country that I'm not even remotely close to? If I didn't have this news outlet and I didn't know anything about that, would I even know that's going on? So do I have to let it stress me out? Like, can I just be grateful that, even at the minimum, I'm not exactly in that realm where I'm experiencing that right now? And it's okay to be grateful for that. It really is. It's, whatever's going on with people in wherever they're at, that's what's going on for them. And that's what they were meant to experience. So it's not a dig. It's not a negative thing. It's not like not having compassion for them. It's not that at all. It's not related to you at that moment. So why are you worried about it? Anyway, I
Yeah,
just thought I'd
it's a
make that
great, that's
one.
a great example or something to bring up, because I feel like the way the ego is, it always tries to put us, like my ego, for example, always tries to put me in the center of everything. Like, how is this war in a country that rhymes with Schmizreel affecting me and affecting my, I'm sad because of all the people there. Now, you could be sad because of it, and you don't have to be happy, but being thankful that you're here and not over there, you're right. There's nothing wrong with that. You could be thankful because everybody has their own challenges. Growing up, everyone's like, we have to end world hunger. There's all these hungry people. And if you don't finish your food, what about the starving people in Africa? That's what they always say to us. Don't you feel bad?
Yes.
Well,
Yes.
over here in the United States, we have a different problem. We have too much food, or what
Yeah.
they call food.
Could it be because you kept telling people keep eating that because there's starving people in the world?
Yeah, that's exactly. But that's our challenge here, right? Our challenge here is to not overeat. And I remember I used to be heavier, so it's something I have to work with. Something a lot of people have to work with is that. So that is our certain challenge because of whatever we went through in our life, whatever our spirit went through before, or our energy. We were incarnated in this part of the realm because we had our own work that we had to do. We had a specific set of circumstances, just like hurdles. And other people in other parts of the country have different hurdles. And those hurdles might look a lot crazier to us than our own hurdles. But if we're focused on their hurdles, we're not jumping over ours. We're just running right through them and not completing the course. But we keep smashing our knees on the hurdles instead of jumping them.
Yeah. But I think that's a good little conclusion to the be here now.
Yeah, for sure. And
Yeah.
so the next one would be the world is perfect. And
I always
every,
say everything is perfectly as it should be, because that's a
exactly.
good way to say, because if people are like, but what do you mean? It's like, well, it's as it should, it is what it is. It's another way of saying it is what it is.
It is exactly what it is. And I'm going to bring up now, if you like the Tao, go check out our series on the Tao. We just covered this verse a couple of weeks ago. Verse 29, I'm going to read the Stephen Mitchell version from 1988. Do you want to improve the world? I don't think it could be done. The world is sacred. It can't be improved. If you tamper with it, you'll ruin it. If you treat it like an object, you'll lose it. And that's exactly what's going on when you think you live in a physical place. You even take the world and you put the world up on a pedestal. And you're like, or in the pit, right? That's what most people do. They put the world in the pit and they talk, judge it and say how bad it is. But all these things that are happening in the world, I feel they're happening so we could get to where we need to go. And if you really want to make the world a better place, just make yourself a better person. And technically, you made the world a better place. You're going to affect everybody around you, and you're going to have less suffering as a result of it. And you can be that light that shines bright in the world. And again, I think the ego really steps in and says, oh, if I, start a show, I could change everyone's mind and they can listen to me and it'll be perfect. But it probably will just turn into a cult.
I remember something Brandon used to tell me, that he used to tell people when he would, meet them, and he wasn't, well, raping anybody, but he would just kind of throw this little tidbit at them if they had a discussion with him about this, and he would, say, okay, is God perfect? Okay, did he make the world perfectly? Yes. Okay. And it's like, why do we disbelieve that truth? Because if it's already said God's perfect, he made the world perfect, so why do we disbelieve that?
Yeah, that's I
Why
said
can't we
this at
agree?
a barbershop to somebody one time. Of course, I was the only white dude in there when I used to go in there and get my little fades and my mohawk. They were awesome. We used to have great conversations. And this one old guy was in there just I wasn't even talking. I was just getting my haircut. He's bitching the whole time about how the world is terrible and all this stuff. It's probably like 2017 or whatever, 2016. And I just look at him and I'm like, "Do you believe in God?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "You think God's perfect, right?" "Yeah." And I'm like, "Well, you think that you believe God created the whole world, right?" "Yeah." And I'm like, "Well, then the world's perfect, right?" And he's like, and I'm like, "At this point, you're just arguing with God, not me. I'm just pointing this out." Like, and he just huffed and left.
Right.
He just walked out of the barber shop, and everyone's like, "Damn, man, that's deep." I'm like,
Can't argue with God. I mean,
"You're arguing with God now, not me, man. I'm just saying, I don't even have to believe in
exactly.
God to say, tell you that. You know, like, these are your
Yeah.
beliefs. You said yes to all this."
Absolutely.
But I feel like, we're not have we don't we try not to judge it, judge things, right? No judgment is really the key. And it doesn't mean you can't have discernment. Judgment just means that you're not pointing the finger. Discernment is a little different. It's like, oh, this guy wants to hang out with me, but he like definitely is not my type of friend. Or as a woman, you're like, I don't know, this guy's creepy. Then you use your discernment to get yourself away from this person. A judgment,
Absolutely.
however, is a little different. Where you're pointing the finger and you're blaming, you're saying, "Oh, if that over there wasn't so terrible, I'd be better." Or, "Look at this person engaging in this behavior. How dare they?"
Or that
And I,
person's evil.
that person's evil. And I feel like judgments are just a key to your own inner work. If you're having judgments, there's several different things it could be. It could be some kind of behavior that you're still engaging in, and you see someone else doing it, and you don't like it, so you point it out in them. Or you can have just an issue with that kind of behavior. And then you have to say, well, why would I have an issue with it? Is it, is this affecting me? This is this person's life. Why do I have an issue with their behavior? What does that say about me? And again, it doesn't mean that you don't have to like, you don't have to engage in any of that behavior or whatever. But if you're looking at somebody, even if they're like a murderer or whatever, you could say to yourself, well, maybe they had a terrible life. The way they're maybe their parents locked them in the basement, beat them all the time, and now they're just serial killer. I don't know what it is. I don't agree with what they're doing, but I could see how it happened, and I have compassion for that soul, even though he has to die because he's a serial killer. Sorry, but you could still have that kind of point of view without taking on any of the negativity and the suffering that this person is causing in the world. You don't have to take any of that on for your own because it's not yours to take on.
Yeah. But I think that brings us to the do it till you're done tenet.
Yeah.
And
Oh yeah,
we say
I skipped
this,
past that. Sorry,
yeah,
everybody.
but we say in this, when we're talking about this, like it's not a judgment on someone who is doing a behavior that they do constantly, and you either think it's bad or negative or evil or whatever you think it is, but it, like, for you shouldn't also have judgment on yourself for continuing this behavior. It's clearly teaching you something. It's clearly there because it's kind of like the pain, right, that Brendan was talking about. So a behavior that you continuously do and you seem to have no ability to stop doing, it's like a warning sign to you. And it's not, so you shouldn't be judgmental to yourself for it. What you want to do is ask yourself, go within and ask yourself, what is it that causes you to engage in a behavior. And we had a silly example the other day, I think, when we were talking about nail biting in the episode on fear with Nick. Because that's the thing that sometimes people don't realize why they're doing it. And it's just they just nail bite. And it's not like that's a really simple example, right? And there's nothing evil about it or anything like that that I know of. But it's just a simple thing, right? And if you can get to the root of that, you can get to a place where you don't have that, whatever it is that's causing it, whether it's anxiety or stress or whatever is that's causing this. You can heal that by going within, like I said, and asking yourself those deep questions. And this,
Yeah.
this is Brandon has talked about it many times before, but it can be, you can do that with drinking too much alcohol or eating too much food or whatever it is that your attachment is to continuously escape into your
It's
chosen method of escapism.
yeah, exactly. It's like a balance, right? Behaviors that we engage in. I don't feel like any certain behavior is quote unquote evil. That's what do it till you're done. That's what we mean. Do that behavior until you're done. Now, there is a distinction, right? You have the physical and the spiritual. We're talking about the spiritual because first thing someone's going to say is, well, what if someone's a serial killer and they're just going out and killing somebody till they're done?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, first, we don't agree with murder. We already said we like to mold our own lives to the golden rule as close as we can. Now, that being said, I can be living my life to the golden rule as best I could, and I can see somebody else out there doing something terrible, and it can make me feel bad inside. It can make me feel like a victim. And then because I feel like a victim, I could justify all kinds of bad behaviors because of it. I could be like, well, now this has happened. I have to go engage in this behavior to kind of forget about these evil things. Or you have a choice. Like I said, inside spiritually, you could look at this behavior that you don't agree with, and you could say, like I said earlier, you can empathize with this person. No matter what's going on in the situation, you have a little bit of empathy for them. It doesn't mean you consent. Compassion is not consent, right? You just have compassion for their struggle. In this way, you're not a victim. Internally, you're not a victim to whatever is going on. So when we see people out in the world doing stuff, we're like, you know what? God bless them. Hopefully one day they'll figure it out. I feel like whatever energy they are, maybe in this life, if reincarnation is real, maybe in the next life they'll figure it out. Maybe they have to experience all this stuff so they could
In
go
this
on
lifetime.
to the next role. And the reason we talk about all this stuff and about the world being perfect and stuff, we're, like we said before, if we are only aspects of God, then we'll have no idea what the God, quote unquote, his whole master plan is. So we have no idea. So we could be pointing to someone that's a serial killer and saying, oh, they're terrible, this terrible person, but we don't know what's going on as a result of that. The other things that are going to go on or happen in the future because of it, or somebody who, maybe a lot of good will come out of it. Maybe somebody that the serial killer killed was abusing children. You know what I'm saying? Even if they didn't know it, they just killed a. There's always some kind of positive, or some, maybe not even a positive, but like I said before, it's a balance. So what we're seeing is there's a tipsy turvy going on, and we're looking at the world while it's like trying to come to rest, and we don't realize that, because of karma or whatever, just like waves in a pool, if you throw a rock, these waves are gonna keep going until they subside on their own. And that's the point of view that we're coming at this from. We're looking at it from that point of view. We're not God. We don't know the plan. We're just responsible for our own thing, for our own behavior. And we can keep our behavior closer to the golden rule if we don't feel like victims internally, no matter what happens.
It
Did
reminds me
Jesus feel
of
like a victim on the cross? What did he say when he was dying? Right? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As they were actively murdering him, he forgave them. And this
We were going to
is
cover
the
that
right. And
somewhere else, but
that's even if you don't believe Jesus is a real person, or if you do believe he's a real person, that path that was set out for him, that path, I'm sorry, that he highlighted with his life, or that you could find in the gospel, is a good way to model your behavior. And that's the one right as he's dying. He just says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Something you said reminded me of the story of that's in the Lord of the Rings, and Gandalf is telling Frodo that he doesn't know what Gollum's future may hold, because Frodo was like, "Man, I wish he would have died," and
Why didn't Bilbo kill him? And
so he was kind of like having this like victim feeling about it, and Gandalf tells him, "You don't know what his future may hold," with regards to this ring, and you see in the end, not to spoil it, but he has a great role in, and I don't mean like he has a big role in the end, and it had he done that, the story would have ended very differently.
yeah, if there was no
So,
Gollum at the end, there would have been no ring in the river of fire.
yeah, but this whole concept of, going through all the things that we go through, we gain true understanding and knowing because we've done that. So like you take and pick your attachment, your method of escapism, and you do it over and over and over. You drink every night, you drink all day, whatever it is. And, but that's, you've experienced it. So now you will know, and you may be able to help someone else. You may be instrumental in helping someone else who has gone through something like you. And you can say, "Look, I've been there. I know how that feels." Right. And we've talked about this before, but the whole like Adam and Eve knowing it, Adam knew his wife Eve. Why? Because he experienced her. You knowledge comes from experience. You can't know something, like you can't really know it until you've been there and you've experienced it. So,
And that's
but
what the doing it till you're done is all about, right? It's like,
exactly.
so you get this knowing. Is that, did you want to say something else? I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, I was just also going to say, like, we all go through these things in our own time, and that's God's time. So, like, trying to force somebody into, doing something a different way is not necessarily helpful, because they're just, they may ignore you. They may just keep on doing it. They may do it even harder, because you said, "Thou shalt not." You know what I mean? So, yeah, we put a "thou shalt not" in our tenets because it was a funny thing, but not because we're trying to make you guys do something.
Yeah, it's just our hopes and wishes that you don't put us on a pedestal. No, yeah, 100% true. You really have to get the true knowing, and sometimes you have to, whatever it is you have to do. In my life, I had to go around and do all this until I wasn't fulfilled. Now I know. Now I'm like, so I think you see this at rock bottom. It's really what it is. It's like people have to hit a rock bottom with drugs or
Absolutely.
drinking. You see this a lot. A friend of mine, he had an issue with heroin, and he almost OD'd one time. And the first thing he thought of when he like woke up and came to was like, "What about my kids? My kids are not going to have a dad." And that knowing was like, "Oh shit!" And that's what caused him to clean up his act.
I
And that's kind of
just
what we feel like this whole realm is. You just have to. It's a series of rock bottoms, and then you just build yourself back up. And again, the spiritual level, right? We're not consenting to anything in the physical. If people want to do it, they can. We're not going to feel like internal victims, but I'll do my best to stop somebody in front of me who's committing a crime if I can, especially if they're committing it to me, against me, I mean.
Yeah, I thought of something quickly too, that, I had to be in an abusive re and emotionally, I had such an emotionally abusive relationship for 8 years to hit a rock bottom and finally say, "You know what? I respect myself now, and I won't allow this anymore." I had to hit a rock bottom for that. So, like, this could be a lot of things, right? It could be drinking. It could be being in an abusive relationship.
It could be being an abuser, also.
That too. That too.
Maybe you realize that's not
Absolutely.
what you want. You
The
want
other side of it, right?
to,
Absolutely. But yeah, I can't remember the context that we were going to speak of this on, but I have a note about the law of one in this. And, the way the Law of One explains this realm and how it works and how everything works when we're, ascending through these lifetimes and doing our best to arrive to a more enlightened estate or whatever you would call it. We can ascend either negatively or positively. So we can polarize to one or the other. And I guess this is why I was going to say it, because you could be observing someone, let's say, doing something that's, super negative in this physical realm, which, not following the golden rule, basically, what it is, killing people, for example, or, harming people. And that is the negative ascension. But the thing is, once you hit that sixth density of ascension and you try to get past it, it can't go any higher negatively. It will flip positive. So that's all to say that in this realm, you shouldn't be, shouldn't have to judge people for where they're at. Because if they're trying to ascend via the negative route, in the very, very end, they won't be able to. They'll have to flip positive. So that just gives me more compassion for people, because it's like Aaron Apke talks about people who are sane, those of us who are aware of, the golden rule, and we operate by that. People who are not, they're just insane. And it's not a negative, sorry, it's not a bad, I'm not saying, oh, they're evil or anything like that. It's just that, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
You're just saying how even if people ascend negatively, so even if someone's out there doing the worst, and I guess you have to be like 95% negative to do it, so they got to be a pretty evil person, you would say. But in the end, they get to a certain density, everything harmonizes, everything comes back into balance at a certain density. We're just at the stage where we're just like waves in a pool. Imagine if you only were alive for 10 seconds. Somebody throws a rock in a pool, and then you're alive, and you just see all this waves and all this stuff, and then you die because it's only been 10 seconds. Then a couple minutes later, everything is still again. We don't have the correct perception to see everything. I feel like that's really what's going on when people are making judgments, is they don't aren't taking the right perception. And again, it's fine, we're not judging people, but
That's
that's
so,
really
yeah.
what it's
So
about.
I remember what I was
Okay.
saying. So, like, saying that someone is insane is not to be mean. It's just to say it's a compassionate way of saying have no judgments on them like that. Have love and
Yeah, you
compassion for
wouldn't
them, because
judge an insane person, right?
they're immature. It's like an immature little child, it's like a little child having a tantrum, let's say, or something like that. You don't punish them for being a 2-year-old who doesn't know what's going on. You at least you shouldn't, I don't think. They don't know their own feelings, their own emotions. They're learning a lot, right? So you just have compassion over a baby who doesn't understand things, and they're spiritual. They're spiritual babies. You don't know when they came into the realm and how many lifetimes they've lived, et cetera.
Exactly. 100%.
But yeah, it brings us to the next tenet, which is
Yes.
fear is the
Fear
mind
is the
killer,
mind killer. That's
which comes
right.
from Dune.
Yes. And really, we've talked so much about fear. If you want to see more about or expand on this, go see episode 93 with Nick. But our conclusions really were that fear is when you're not trusting God's plan. When you see something unfolding in front of you and you don't think it's for your best and highest good, but God knows, the all knows that it really is. So it's just a weakness when you're not trusting the plan, and you could form these egoic attachments to things. This computer, I might love it. And I'm like, listen, I never want anything bad to happen to this computer, but one day it'll be gone, right? And then say it does blow up before I'm done needing it. I'm going to be upset and be like, oh man, I need a new computer, but I was just attached to this one. What if I get a new one and it's even better? There's something else that I missed or whatever. It has a different function. So it really is just in same thing. We get attached to people. We get attached to behaviors. There's all kinds of different egoic attachments that happen. Another one that brings on fear is false scarcity. We see that a lot. So, like if you're a fan of Crow 777, you would know that there really is no scarcity in this realm as far as resources like oil, gold, silver, gasoline, all these
Water.
things, water. Could it be that they all just replenish themselves, or there's just so many of them we would never even go through them in like a million lifetimes? It could
Yeah.
be possible.
Fear exists in our thoughts about the future. That's where it lives.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing we can just briefly say is that we can manifest what we focus on, and it's and you know whether it's the positive things or the negative things, like things that you fear. So what's if you fear spiritual negative entities, could it be that you'll encounter them if you're focusing on that fear too much?
It's like
They'll
a
present
signal. I
themselves
feel like
to
you're
you.
opening yourself up for things when you have this fear.
Right.
So, with fear is the mind killer. It's what we're basically talking about now. And it really only exists in the future. This is something that Nick told us, which I'm very grateful for. I never even thought about it. You don't, I mean, you might be upset about things that happened in the past, or you might fear that something in the past can happen again, but that's just, it's going to happen in the future, right? It's an occurrence that happened or something that happened to you in the past, and you don't want it to happen again. There you go, the future. So if you go back to the one, being in the present moment, being aware, be here now, it's really helpful with fear because, again, you're not trusting God's plan, right? You think that something's going to happen that isn't meant to happen to you or that you don't want to happen. And that's when that your ego comes in where you're like, I don't want to go through that. And great examples, right? Comedy. I didn't want to go up on stage for the first time and be shaken as I'm like reading what I call jokes to people. But I did it, and now, I'm more comfortable with it, or whatever it is that, like Sharon with the podcast, and same thing. She didn't want to do it at first. She had fear,
Yeah.
and she overcame it, and now we have this lovely podcast.
Yeah. Earlier I had mentioned the the manifesting fear if you focus on it too, things that you fear too much. It makes me think of the Law of One, and when like a negative entity does present itself to you. You shouldn't have fear. You should, it's kind of like imagine the situation of when we say, you're defending yourself from an intruder, for example, and you have a gun for protection, but you don't necessarily want to use it. But this person is coming at you. You can lovingly and compassionately be like, sorry, dude. You can have loving compassion toward them if you need to use it. You're not doing it in a rage, in a raging way. You're not angry about it. You don't hate the guy for it. You can do this with a negative entity. You could show it love and compassion, and it can't be in your presence. Because it will cause it to polarize positive, and it can't lose any one of its points. It has to be 95% negative. And so if you give it love and a true love and compassion for it, it won't be able to handle that. So it must go, if it wants to continue to stay negative, it must go away. So that and or showing no fear of it, and some people say calling on the name of Jesus works, and it could be he's an ascended master of some sort, and he has he's spiritually powerful. And I was interestingly enough, I was watching this video that Spoons had shared in our chat, and the guy was talking about these demonic entities. And again, I don't he these entities, I should say, these negative entities, but he talks about whether they're demonic or whatnot. But anyway, he talks about these entities, and I forgot what the heck I was going to say about that, but it was related to this. And
I think his breakthrough that he had with the entities, right, and how he was able to get rid of them as opposed to trying to fight them.
that's what it was. He said that he did a cleansing, and then he found out later from someone else that he didn't even know was related to the whole thing, that this entity had come back and said to the individual that had been under that, whether it was a possession or it was experiencing the entity, said to it, "I cannot come back. I have no authority over you anymore. So you can always withdraw consent, you know, because, you know, if you claim that they have no power over you and you have no fear over them, you fear of them, you can ward them away."
And I
That'd
think
be
showing love and light is so key, not only to what you said, because the law of one, right? In the law of one, they say if you show these negative entities love and light, they go away because they can't be around the love and light. But I also feel like if you are at a point where some kind of negative entity is trying to show itself or manifest it to you, and you show it love and light, that just means you're not willing to play ball. Like the thing knows right away it can't affect you, right? It's because these. I feel like the way this realm works is it's all choose your own adventure, right? You have to give your own consent either tacitly or, expressly. But by just being by just being scared and afraid of the thing, you're playing along. And when you're just show it love and light and you just empathize with the thing, be like, oh man, that must suck to be a fucking demon, and you just get to go around and mess with people, and I feel bad for you, and I love you, and do better, or whatever, or hopefully you can be in a better place. It's like, okay, this entity is looking at you like, okay, this person doesn't want to play ball. They don't want to be negative. They don't want to be scared. They don't want any of this. I got to get the hell out of here before I'm affected, right? Before this person's will affects me as a negative entity. I got to get out of here. And
Because
God.
I was gonna say, because allegedly, something that guy said in that video was that, could it be that you're feeding them energy when you fear? It's kind of like that movie Monsters, Inc., the kids movie, Pixar movie, or whatever it was, that, you know, the screams and the terror and the fear is what gives them energy. So it feeds them, and they just want constant feedings. So if they can get that from you, then they'll come back, right? And if they can't, they won't even come near you.
Exactly. And the biggest fear of all, I feel like most people share, is the fear of death. And that is a huge blind spot, an opening for others to control people who fear death. So I feel like if you can overcome your fear of death, and this is something that really helped me out a lot, there really is nothing else to fear. If you have a fear, you think to yourself, all right, I'm afraid to go swimming. And then you're like, well, why? Because I might drown. I might get eaten by a shark. I might die. Okay. I'm afraid to whatever it is. And then you just logically go down. Then you realize it's death at the end of all these. Now, we talk about death symbolically a lot with the death of your own, even maybe worldview, right? And then you're reborn to another one. So if you use this as above, so below principle, you can kind of see, even in nature, a tree dies, and then even while it's still upright and it's dead, it provides cover for animals and houses for different animals and birds and squirrels. And then when it falls over, it just goes back into the earth and replenishes the other trees, and the other trees grow back up. So you could see it even in nature. So I feel like there really is no reason to fear death. It's just another step. I feel like it's our attachments that keep us with this fear of death, because we don't want to go on to the next thing. We're attached to, everything around us, and this is all natural. So we're not judging people in this society anyway. I think it's pretty normal that it happens. But if you can lose your fear of death, and it doesn't mean that you invite death, right? Like, I don't invite death, but I'm not afraid of it. You just kind of go along, and that's what has helped me so much with just any kind of fear in general.
Right. And when you think about it logically, what is that experience of death? It is really just returning to source. It's whether you are going to be reincarnated or whatever, but it seems illogical to be afraid of it, right? Because it's merely just an ending and a new beginning. And yeah, we won't know necessarily what the new beginning is, but isn't that adventurous? Sometimes being spontaneous is fun, and that last thing, that last experience you have, and maybe you feel it and maybe you don't. But you will know when you're on the other side. You will know.
Yeah, I try to
And
look at it as like an adventure, and again, not that I'm inviting death, but
exactly.
I feel like whenever that day comes, I'm going to try to, if I realize this is it, I'm going to try to have that awareness where I'm like, all right, what's going to happen next? I'm going to stay conscious. I'm going to try not to be a victim. I'm going to be like, all right, this is how it was meant to be. Let's go and just dive in.
Right.
I think it's the holding on. It's that, not wanting to let go and accept what's happening. It's just like the stages of grief. Acceptance is the final stage. And I feel like any kind of fear that we have, it's all about attachments. And just to get to acceptance would be the best way. Just like we always talk about, we were talking about earlier, the law of one. If we are all just consciousness or energy, as the materialist scientist would tell you, we're just particles. If that's the case, then where the hell could we go if we die? Where do we go? Energy, they'll tell you. Energy never leaves. You can't destroy or create anything technically. So, yeah. So I think that's about it. You think that's good for fear? You want to move on to the next one? All right. And this is the end of episode number 99, which we are going to make part one of the Over Sharon Show summary for newbies and top 10 Over Sharon tenants. We planned on just actually making this one episode, but as you can see, we're not even all the way through the tenants, and we've already gone just as long as we usually do one show. So we got together, recorded a second part of this, and you guys will see that next week. That'll be episode 100, which is going to be part two of the Over Sharon Show summary for newbies and top 10 Over Sharon tenets. So we'll see you next week. Thank you guys so much. Take care.